Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. And just like last week, I wish I was Kelly Hatfield with her team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You ready for it?
I'm ready for it and sending all the good energy out into the universe for the Seahawks. Very excited.
Right, right. It just shows you what focusing on your daily actions can do for you.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So our topic today is the immense power of understanding your DISC profile. And for you that maybe not are familiar with the DISC profile, I just taught this to my class. And the power of it, the DISC profile basically is a personality profile. And it you're one of four different types. The D is a sort of a dominant person. An I is an influencer, a people person. A S in the DISC is the steady Eddie, and then the C is basically a perfectionist. And if you look at the world, more or less, that's how the world shakes out. And it's all based on you being on two factors. Do you do things fast or do things slow? Do you do things, are you people-oriented or are you task-oriented? And the thing I love about the DISC profile is it's so simple. Like I've taken the Enneagram and other things, and they're valuable, but they are not as simple as the DISC profile. Kelly, what do you think about that? Have you taken some of the other stuff? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think that they're very valuable. I mean, there's so many of the ones that are out there, but DISC and an Enneagram, those are like common ones that, you know, are out there. But I think it's so helpful when we talk about clarity, you know, and when we're talking about identity and when we're talking about how you're interacting with other people. And again, getting clarity around that, you give great examples of you know, understanding what other people's profiles are. And
right.
I think from a leadership standpoint, it's been very helpful for me to understand somebody's personality type so that I understand how to get the most out of them, you know,
right.
Best lead them. And so I think not just the DISC profile, but any of these personality, you know, assessments or whatever are super useful.
So I assume with your recruiters, you know what personality type they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you use DISC or you use something else?
We use DISC. That's been the primary one that we've used. And again, that's been helpful and great in terms of, and we need to hire people who are influencers. Like that's part of like your ability,
right.
You're in the recruiting space to influence. So it helps us give an indication as to where, you know, how strong they are in that particular area. And, you know, both, and then on the dominant, you know, side, you know, as well, perfectionists are tricky for us. And but we do like the steady Eddie, but like we do like those drivers and people who are competitive and, you know, who can influence. And so it really is super helpful. There were a couple of other tools, and I don't know them off the top of my head. We just, you know, briefly spoke about what we were talking about before we jumped on today, and I wish I would have grabbed those. But DISC has been one that's kind of been a mainstay in our business.
Right, right. Well, I know I've told you this before, but I think the thing that has been so powerful to me once I understood the DISC, I did not understand it when I had my reverse mortgage business. And I now that I think about it, I was into using personality profiles and evaluating people. And I remember I had one loan officer that was fabulous, and she'd do three or four times the average number of reverse mortgages that the average person would do. And I'm like, well, let's get her personality profile and let's hire to that. Mm-hmm. And we tried to do that, but we could never do it because we try and hire that way, but the candidates that would come through would not test like she did.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't anything really special, but she was and she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, you know, experiencing that in theory, this all makes sense, but I found it hard to do it. And I see with like what you're doing with the DISC profile, yeah, you're just going to hire people that are high I, high D, and you're pretty well good to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it is a tool. It is not the be end all end. You know what
right.
I mean? Like there's other things that we do with the way we've designed the interview questions. Some of the different, I don't want to say tests, but tests in all honesty of like kind of what we put them through as part of our hiring process to vet some of this stuff out also. Because here's the tricky part with the DISC profile, and this is easy to do sometimes, like when you're taking the profile even, it's easy to do where it's like, I wish that I was. But like, you know what I mean? Where there are some like, bias isn't the right word, but when you're filling it out, it's hard to be completely like brutally honest with yourself as you're filling
right.
this thing out and being like, this isn't necessarily something I'm proud that I am, but I am, you know?
Right. Right.
And so they will answer differently. So there is that margin of error on this. So I don't use it as the be all end all. For me, it's part of a picture, like reference checking. I want to talk to their former employers. I want specific, so it is part of an overall picture of this individual is all, you know? So I want to be clear about that, you know, too. And I think, like I said, the other valuable thing that you get from it is just an understanding of how, you know, this person maybe communicates very differently than you, like in your personal life, when you were talking
right.
about you and Ginge. I think that's where there's a lot of value to it.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, I think that's right. I think maybe the most valuable thing I got out of it over the last few years, because I just got turned on to it about, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, was that the reason, like, I'm a D and you're a D. Are you a D, I?
Yep.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it more D or more I?
More I than D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're way nicer than I am. but one thing that I found interesting was once I understood that people are wired differently, that's why they process information differently. And you know, you can give people the same set of facts and they will come up with different opinions with the very same facts that you or I might have. And once I understood the four different personality profiles, it really made me way more accepting of people, that they're not stupid or dumb if they don't see it the way I see it. I think at some level, that's honestly what I thought. And I think that's what most people think at some level when people disagree with them. But the reality is that's not really the case. They're just processing information differently than you are because they are wired differently. And like as a D, 91% of people are different than me. Well, so 9 out of 10 people are different than me. So whatever conclusions I'm coming to, only one in 10 is processing like I am, basically. And it has been immensely helpful, especially in my marriage. Now I see, you know, let the gin be the gent and let her process that information differently. And don't be mad at her when she does. Just accept that she's seeing it different. Now, maybe at her detriment. And I, you know, we just had this discussion yesterday about this. And she says, I don't like it when you say to your detriment. And I said, well, babe, appreciate this. In life, there is truth. There is absolute truth in a lot of things. And if you process information differently than I do, then there is a right and a wrong, and whoever's closer to the truth is right, and whoever's farther from the truth is wrong. It's literally that black and white. And so if you choose a position that is contrary to fact, then choose it at your detriment. And that's why, as you come up with opinions, I think the key is you have to assess what is true. It's just like, I think I've used this example before, that say you're not a big believer in exercise, or maybe even more specifically, you don't believe in the power of VO2 max, which Peter Attia says is the number one factor in longevity. And I've been having this conversation with Will. Well, ignore that at your peril. You know, don't pay attention to that at your peril, because just look at the facts. And so that's the point I'm making. And that's, I don't know, it allows me to personally to be more accepting of people's opinions. And if it relates to something that is, you know, important and there's an absolute truth, as opposed to just an opinion, take your opinion at your peril if it deviates from what's factually true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, this all just goes back to, like, some of the basics of, you know, basic tenets of communication, which is seek first to understand.
Right, right.
You know, so both on our part, like, as you know, it's so wonderful kind of having an idea of what makes somebody tick and how they think about stuff, because it helps us communicate, you know, better with them.
Right.
You know, and then also too, you know, as advice to ourselves, like, seek first to understand, make sure you're clear about what the facts are.
Right.
You know, before you form an opinion, you know, make sure you gathered the information you need to form an intelligent opinion about something. I have no problem saying, I don't have enough information to have an intelligent discussion around this.
Right.
You know, I know what I feel like in my gut, you know, about
right.
it. But to have an intelligent conversation, I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are about this. You know,
right.
But I have no problem saying, I don't feel like I've got enough information to have an intelligent discussion around this. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I think
that's wise.
You know, what you're saying is, it just goes back to that seek first to understand.
Right. You know, I sure said that with you that happened yesterday with Will, my stepson. So I'm helping him get a job in the longevity space, in the optimal health space. And I have a relationship with a big company that's called Humanod, and they're rolling out their program to 100 cities around the country, and they're based here in Austin. So, and I'm in the process of getting the head coaches here at the University of Texas to do this. So I landed on Chris O'Connor yesterday at the women's basketball game, and I'm working him on this, and he's getting there. He's getting there. I already got two of the coaches to go over there, and
nice.
Now I'm getting him to, you know, foot the bill, and I think I've told you all this, but
yeah.
But anyway, so I want to get Will is in the longevity space, and I was telling him the power of a personal note, and so I introduced him to somebody else, and I said, now Will, it's important that you send this guy a personal note, because most people are not going to do that, And so he writes the personal note. And I told him, I said, not only write it, but write it the right way. Because normally when somebody writes a personal note, and I've been guilty of this, it's all I enjoyed meeting you. You know, I this, I that. Well, that's not effective. It's got to be you this, you that. And so he writes it and he reads it to me. And I'm like, well, good job that you wrote it, but it can be better. And so he's like bummed out. He says, well, I've already written it. I'm like, well, let me show you. I said, let's give it to ChatGPT. So I pull out my phone. I say, Chat, here's a personal note. Will you make it better and more effective? So she takes it and like that makes it better. And he listens to it. He goes, oh, I see what you're saying. It is better. So he goes and he rewrites it and it goes off in the mail. I said, now, Will, here is the difference. If you had sent that original note, the receiver would have gone, wow, pretty sharp guy. Who sends a personal note? Very few people. Isn't that nice? If you write a personal note that is all about him and blows him away, that moves from, oh, that's nice, to I want to hire you. That's the difference between good and great. In this world, only great moves people. It's like customer service. You and I have talked about that before, where if you get customer service scores that are good, they're useless. It's got to be great. To get referrals, got to be great. People don't refer around good, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep. You want the ones that are stellar.
Right.
The 5 stars.
Right, right. So I guess to summarize all this wisdom that we've been anticipating about, the thing that wraps it all together is just, I think it's important to understand the DISC profile and understand what you are. But more importantly, the bigger picture, I think, is to understand what other people are and see that a lot of your frustration comes from not appreciating that other people simply are wired differently and they process the very same information you're processing, they're processing it differently. And once you accept that, your life gets easier.
Hopefully, so, does it? Yeah, it's a difference maker for sure.
Right. Okay, until next time. And next time we'll be celebrating a Super Bowl victory. So.
Yes.
So please. Okay, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich. And purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.